we're continuing in our series, God in My Everything, which is about spiritual disciplines and how they can be formed into a rule of life, into a structure or pattern of life which enables spiritual growth. The first slide here is a collection of different kinds of trellises. A rule of life is often compared to a trellis. I didn't know why, but found out recently that rule is actually derived from the Greek word for trellis. So a trellis is a support system which enables a vine to get off the ground and grow upward so that it can be fruitful. And by analogy, a rule of life is a spiritual support system which helps us to abide in Christ and become more fruitful spiritually. It's a plan to keep God at the center of everything. And so our series is called God in My Everything after the book of the same title by Pastor Ken Shigematsu. In the book, he includes this diagram. You can see that he has conceived of a rule of life as a trellis, and there at the roots, down near the bottom of the trellis, you have these sort of main practices that hold everything else: Sabbath prayer, and what he calls sacred reading. He's talking about reading the Bible. Then there are practices that are built on top of that. So far we've looked at the three root practices, and then three relational practices: spiritual friendship, sexuality, and family life. And the hope is that as we get this overview, you'll be able to get started with a practice or two. So nobody's expecting you to be able to do all 12 of these things by April. But if you can grab on to one or two to get started, that would be awesome. The next two disciplines are areas Shigematsu calls practices of restoration. And today we're going to be looking at caring for our bodies as a spiritual discipline. In the message on sexuality, we noted that Jesus didn't die only to save our souls. He died to redeem the whole person, including our bodies. So our bodies are sacred. We're meant to honor God with our bodies. Unlike those who think of the body as temporary or even disposable, God's word tells us that God intends to raise the body. So your future is not just to be a spirit in heaven somewhere, but actually in the end to be put back into a physical body. God intends to raise the body. Jesus healed the body as a sign of the kingdom coming, as a foretaste of a time when there won't be any more sickness, when there won't be any more pain. Jesus himself took on a human body, and God promises to give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells us. So the body is important, and God is redeeming it too. Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this time this morning, we ask that you would speak to us. We pray that you would help us to understand the truth through your word and then to apply it in our lives through the power of your spirit. Lord God, help us not to be hearers only, but to be doers of your word, to proclaim your heart and your goodness with our words, but also with our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk a bit about what God's word says about the body and some of the implications that has for us as people who take him seriously. So I don't automatically assume that everyone who's listening today is already a follower of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you're figuring it out, I think that's fine. But if you're going to take him seriously, you might as well begin to take some of his instructions seriously. In John 7:17, it says that we will know these things are true when we do them. And for those of us who already consider ourselves followers of Jesus, this is just part of discipleship. We don't always think of it that way. We think of our physical bodies as like a side thing, and we shouldn't. So let's open the Word of God and talk about why. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, God's Word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. David says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And that's true for all of us. I was looking up some interesting facts about the body. There's a list as long as your arm. I think there are whole books written on this subject, but I just pulled out a few here. Your brain has 100 billion neurons, which branch out to 100+ trillion trigger points, forming what experts call a neuron forest. Your brain's memory capacity has been estimated at between 10 and 100 terabytes. Scientists estimate that humans can distinguish up to 10 million colors and 1 trillion different smells. But get this one. Our eyes remain the same size as they were at birth, but our nose and ears never stop growing. It's a strange thing. On average, a human heart beats more than 3 billion times and pumps 182 million liters of blood throughout an average human lifetime. And there are approximately 100,000 kilometers of blood vessels in your body. How about this one? 50,000 cells in your body died and were replaced by new ones while I was reading this sentence. 50,000. And you weren't even trying. Teeth are the only part of the body which cannot heal themselves. How about this one? Your skin will be completely replaced about 1,000 times in your lifetime. And lastly, by weight, bones are 5 times stronger than steel. Fearfully and wonderfully made. What is the proper response to that? Well, we are intended to celebrate our bodies, and they should lead us to worship, and we should take care of them. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be slightly awkward, but just kind of go with me on this. I'd like you to unmute your mics, everyone. And then we're going to say together, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And it's going to sound crazy, and that's okay. But unmute your mics now. We're going to say together on the count of three, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And when we do this, I want you to pay attention to your sort of internal reaction to doing this. Here we go. On three. 1, 2, 3, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Thank you for indulging me on that. I wonder how that feels for people, what feelings it evokes for different people. I'm sure that the reactions are different. Some of us hate our bodies. We hate them. We don't like to look in a mirror, especially when we're not wearing clothes. We don't like the way that we look. Some of us carry shame over our bodies. And so I think it's important to pay attention to how it feels to say, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We are, but it doesn't always feel like that. And that could be an indicator of something. Certainly it's an indicator that we need to tell the truth about ourselves revealed by God, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It may also mean that we need to yield some things to God. God loves our bodies, and we should as well. We should care for them. I think one possible application of this biblical truth is that we need to bring our feelings about our bodies to God and to make it a point to adopt His view of them, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Like I said, there may be more to it than that. It might be good to get some inner healing prayer over some of the things that we carry around about our bodies. But I think the first thing is just to go to God and to be able to confess, yeah, this is how I feel about it. And I don't quite know what to do with that because it's not what you say. And that can be a start. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Second thing that I have from Scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, which says that our bodies are a temple of God's own Spirit. Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We are meant to honor God, to glorify Him with our bodies. And I find that people often make opposite errors on this point. There is a group of people who think of the body as something to worship. They idolize their bodies. These are people who get obsessed with how their bodies look and get locked on to a particular diet, or in pre-COVID days, in being at the gym and coming obsessed with creating a certain look. I want to be careful here because I actually think most of us could probably stand to move more in that direction. So I don't think it's a bad thing to work out, to be disciplined about how we eat. I try to do that myself. But there is such a thing as idolizing the body, as beginning to worship the body. You'll hear people say, "Hey, my body is a temple." But a temple is not something that you worship. A temple is somewhere from which you worship. So the body's not meant to be worshiped. It's a place in which we worship. The opposite error, though, and I think this is the more common one, is that we neglect the body or even abuse it. We don't exercise. We overeat or we undereat. We don't make it a point to get sufficient sleep. If you listen to me long enough, you'll hear me sometimes say that there's a ditch on either side of the road. What I mean by that is, you know, we're intended to drive on the middle of the road, but there's one error in a ditch on one side of the road and the opposite error in a ditch on the other side. And for most of us, the tendency is to have a vehicle that pulls in one direction or the other. I used to have this 1975 Toyota station wagon, and it was a great car. It would have run forever if we hadn't totaled it, but it pulled to the right. And so the only way for me to keep the car on the middle of the road was to kind of consciously, slightly pull the wheel to the left. And I think in our spiritual lives, we have a similar phenomenon. Most of us tend toward certain kinds of errors. And so if there's error on both sides of the road, we still end up wanting to drive our spiritual life into one of those ditches or the other. And so I think one way to apply this scripture is to ask yourself, which ditch am I more prone to drive into? Am I more likely to idolize my body, or maybe the bodies of other people? Or am I more likely to neglect and abuse my body? They're both problematic, but if you know which error you're more likely to make, hopefully you can avoid that error. Remember that these problems have spiritual roots, and so we need to start by bringing them to God. We can start with confession to Him. "Lord, I've been neglecting my body. And that I'm not just giving that as an example, that's an actual confession. I have been neglecting my body. I've been trying to repent on that. Monica, among others, texts me sometimes to say, have you gone for a walk today? I pulled out my weights last night because I'd been preparing for this message and thinking, you know, I really should get back to that. But we can confess to God and we can confess to a friend because accountability is a helpful thing. We can start with one habit that will help to steer us away from our natural ditch. What's one thing that we could start with? Part of our problem is we want to start with 20 things. I'm going to start a completely new lifestyle. And that's just overwhelming and it's hard to keep up and we get discouraged. But we could consider a regular, reasonable bedtime. We could start with a simple exercise goal. I'm going to walk 3 times a week. Or every day, or however you want to do it. We could start a new food regimen. And I honestly think one of the most important things about food is keeping track of what you actually put into your body because it's easy to fool yourself. And so when you keep track of what you put in, then at least you know what's going in there. You could consider jumping in with other friends and making it a social thing that you do together. I had friends at my last workplace that all decided that they were overweight and neglecting their bodies. It was a bunch of nurses. And so it's ironic because they're busy caring for everyone else's body, but abusing their own. And so they decided that they would all put in like $20 and try to lose weight together. And so they put all this money in, and then I can't remember how they divided it up. It's something like the top two people who lost the most weight got to split the pot or whatever. It was fun. And I actually think they donated the money back and threw a big party, and it was a fun time. But I think some of what that takes advantage of is this idea that we do better when, or at least some of us do better, when we do things together. We're not by ourselves. So it doesn't have to be a weight loss pool. You could have an exercise buddy. You could have an accountability partner, however you want to set it up. But partly, I think that social idea can be a helpful thing. Just a warning on this, getting connected to a group or having an accountability partner only helps if you really want to do this. They're not going to force you to do things. In the end, you have to do things because it's important to you and you believe it's important to God. But if our bodies are temples of God's own spirit, if God himself has come to make his home in us, don't we want him to have a decent home? Somebody were going to come and stay at your house, would you want it to be all dirty and, I don't know, moldy and disorganized? I mean, wouldn't you want it to be a hospitable place for your friend or family member? A place that you prepared to make it comfortable and pleasant to be in. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are temples of God's own spirit. And then the third thing for the morning is from Romans 12, 1, our bodies are to be dedicated to God and to his service. Paul urges the Romans and us to present our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. This, he says, is our spiritual service of worship. So not just singing, not just offering praises with our lips, but what we do with our bodies. When we are dedicated to God's service, or when we've dedicated our bodies to God's service, that is worship to God. And my favorite application of this particular idea is to literally dedicate each part of myself, or each main part of myself, to God. And it's not a difficult practice. It's relatively simple, but you'll get the idea. You can start from the bottom up or from the top down, however you want to do it, and just begin to dedicate different parts of your body to God. You know, Lord, I dedicate my head to you and to your service. My thoughts and my mind, I offer to you to think your thoughts, to understand your truth. I dedicate my eyes to you to see the world the way that you see it, to see people the way that you see them. Forgive me when I've looked at people as objects for my pleasure or looked upon them with contempt, with disdain. I dedicate my ears to you to hear what you're saying to me, both in physical sound and also, you know, from you to me spiritually, and so on. You can dedicate every part of your body, to dedicate your heart, to dedicate your hands, your strong arms, to dedicate your stomach to the Lord, your sexual parts, your feet, to go where God says go. All these different things. And every once in a while, I will just literally pray down across my body to try to dedicate different parts of myself to God. And even as I'm saying this to you, I'm thinking, yeah, I probably need to do this again. Because I get sloppy. I forget. I had some thoughts I wanted to add in here, and I wasn't quite sure where to put them. So they just landed here. These are not main points like the other ones were. These are just reflections or helpful thoughts. You can take them or leave them. The first is this. Start new habits a few at a time. Don't try to renovate everything about your life or everything about your approach to your body all in one fell swoop. That is generally a difficult way to do things. Start in one place. The old joke is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So you need to start, but you can only have one biteful at a time. Second is related to that, and that is that wishing we could change is a beginning. But eventually, we have to act. So I don't want to disparage wanting to change. That's a good thing. That's a sign that God is moving in your heart and moving you in the right direction. But it still has to be action. You still have to actually do practical things to see the change. So after you've identified that you want to change the way that you approach your body, you have to pick at least one thing to work on, one thing that you're willing to be held accountable to. A third thing, feeling good physically has a positive effect on the rest of you. It has a positive effect on your emotions. It has a positive effect on your spiritual life. Why is this? Well, we've talked about it already. God made us as complex, interconnected beings. Things that affect one part of us affect the rest of us. And so, you know, if you find yourself battling depression, one way to handle that is to begin to take action where you can, to try to work on your physical body. And you may find that it will affect your state of mind. For those of us who feel discouraged and distant from God, I think that exercise and taking, you know, eating right, even things like showering, washing your hair, changing your clothes in this COVID season, these things affect how we feel, how we relate to God and to other people. Feeling good can have a positive effect on your spirit. The last thing I'll say is this. Your body is important. It's important to God. And it's important because it's the only one you've got. It's where you live. And so you want to take care of yourself for God's sake and for your own. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these physical bodies that are us. They're a big part of who we are. We ask that you would help us to receive them as a gift, to care for them the way that you would have us care for them, Lord, responsibly and with love, with diligence, with wisdom. Help us to treat our bodies like a temple of your spirit, because they are, because you either live in us or you want to. And we should take care of the place where you live. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to dedicate ourselves to you. We do that imperfectly, and we acknowledge that up front. But I pray that our hearts would be for the full devotion of our bodies to you. Lord God, help us. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we pray that you would give us power, that you would give us self-control, that you would give us discipline, as you've promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen.